Aloha. I'm Mike Buck. The next show coming up, the Hawaiian Ice Show, is going to be great, so keep it locked right here on News Radio 830 KHVH. This show every Saturday morning features Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora, medical director of the Hawaiian Eye Center. You know these guys. The Hawaiian Eye Center, they've been around forever. They brought you this high-quality radio show for years and, of course, are Hawaii's leaders in eye care. The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, is all about eyes. You'll hear about the latest advances in eye care, new technology, and all the latest news about cataracts, glaucoma, diabetes, and laser. You'll even have a chance to call internationally recognized eye expert Dr. Christopher Tortora with your questions for the doctor. So please, don't touch that dial. Listen to Dr. Tortora so you can see what you've been missing.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today, or maybe you're feeling shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air in coming weeks. Look us up on the web while you're online. www.hawaiianeye.com is the place to go. And if you're interested in some of the stories we talk about on the radio program today and in previous shows, you can usually find links to many of the news stories that we talk to either on our Twitter feed, which is twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, so Dr. Tortora, or you can find it on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. So just look up Hawaiian Eye Center on Facebook, and you can find links to a lot of the interesting news stories that we talk about here on the radio and some that never make it to the radio show as well. So we're right there online, just a click away. During the next hour, we're going to discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ. We'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all the opinions expressed on this program today are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor who specializes in the eyes. And we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, since I can't see through the telephone, I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. All right, well, in the office over the past week or so, we always like to talk about some of the things that we've seen in the office and some of the things that are going on and that we take care of. And so in the past week, we've actually seen several people who have a condition that we refer to as strabismus, or some people call it cross eyes. Strabismus is a condition where the eyes don't quite come together, don't quite focus together properly. If you have one eye that turns in or one eye that turns out, this some people commonly call this cross eye or wall eye, but the more generic term for the two eyes not focusing together is strabismus. And strabismus is a not uncommon problem. It occurs more in children. We worry about it more in children because in children we can often correct it more easily than we can in adults. But you may have seen or know, you may know someone whose two eyes don't always seem to be looking at you at the same time. And if this is the case, then they probably have some form or another of strabismus where the eyes are not perfectly aligned. Why does this happen? Well, the most common reason that it happens in childhood is what we call congenital strabismus, which means that you're basically born with that tendency. when babies are very young, one of the things we check on when we look at their eyes is whether the eyes are lined up properly and focusing together. If the eyes are focusing well together, then that's good. If they're not, then that child may have a form of strabismus. They may have a cross eye or esotropia, or they may have an eye that turns out, or exotropia. And these are often just due to age and a predisposition when they're born. Now, this happens less than it used to, so there may be nutritional factors and factors related to the mother's health during pregnancy and other things that are changing over time, because we don't see this as often as we used to, but it still does exist. Other things can cause strabismus as well. If the eyes are not aligned, sometimes that's because one eye is not working as well as the other. And so in kids, this is really a kind of a danger sign. If we see that the eyes are not aligned, we need to look into whether there's something else going on in the eyes that might be causing the eyes to be out of alignment. And the worry is, or the concern is, that if they have a problem like tumor in the back of the eye, for example, retinoblastoma is something that occurs in young children. It's a tumor that grows in the back of the eye. It's a malignant tumor that can affect the whole body. And while it's rare, it is very serious when kids have it. And if they have a tumor inside the eye, that's going to cause them to focus differently in one eye and the other, because they're not going to have good vision out of one eye. So there's going to be nothing to keep the eyes focusing together, since one eye is weaker and that eye is going to turn out or turn in. When we discover something like this, that needs to be treated. Other things that can cause poor vision in children are cataracts. Yes, cataracts occur in children as well. They're common in older adults, but they occur once in a while in children. Glaucoma also occurs in children. Again, common in older adults, but rarely occurs in children. So all of these conditions that affect the eye and affect the vision can also cause the eye to turn in or turn out in children. So if you notice that a child that you see or that you know, or your child, doesn't have eyes that look straight and well focused together, you want to get that checked out for sure, to make sure that there's not some other problem going on there inside the eye, and that the strabismus itself doesn't need to be treated. Well, also in adults, we can have strabismus. There's something called adult strabismus, and sometimes it's left over from childhood. Perhaps it wasn't effectively treated during childhood, or perhaps even in spite of treatment, it has persisted into adulthood. But adult strabismuses are usually caused by different types of things, in large part, than that found in children. In one respect, they can be similar, which is that if one eye doesn't see well, often that eye will turn in or turn out. In adults, it generally turns out for the most part, and eye will turn out if it doesn't see well and there's no stimulus to hold the eyes together. And basically what I mean by that is that when you use both eyes together, your brain is basically making that determination that it's seeing well out of both eyes together, and it's kind of making micro adjustments in the positions of your eyes to allow you to be able to see well with both eyes working together. And so if one eye is not working well and you don't see well out of one eye, the brain no longer has those two images to focus together. So it kind of relaxes some of its control on the movement of the eyes. And so the eye can then is free to wander, as it were. And people talk about a wandering eye as an eye that turns out, sometimes referred to as a wandering eye. And so in adults, most commonly, the reason that strabismus occurs, usually an eye turning out or a wandering eye, is because of poor vision in that eye. So here's an interesting scenario that came up in the office this past week, which is part of what initiated this conversation. So a patient developed a reversible blindness in one eye. So they developed a cataract in one eye, and cataract is a treatable condition. If cataract is the sole cause of your loss of vision, then it can be reversed and it can be treated, and you can get back normal vision again. If there are other things besides cataract, maybe not, but if it's just cataract, then the vision should come back to normal when the cataract is treated or removed. So because of this reversible blindness, loss of vision due to cataract in one eye, the patient's eye turned out. And so they had one eye looking straight ahead and one eye that had basically a white cataract. So you could see white in the center part of the eye, and the eye turned out. And so this experience you know, meant that I had been blind for a while. That cataract had been developing there for a while. And sure enough, the patient told me that their eye had not seen well for the past 5 years, and that they were, in fact, also concerned about the appearance of the eyes. And so basically what I was able to offer the patient was to say that the likelihood was that when the cataract was fixed, that the brain would learn to use the two eyes together again, and that turning out of the eye would basically reverse itself. However, if it's been too long, the brain kind of forgets how to do that, and that eye that turns out continues to turn out, and that's not a good thing, because then you've got eyes pointing in two different directions, and now both are seeing after you fix the cataract, both are seeing well. So they're actually seeing two different images, so you get double vision. So one of the risks of letting a cataract go too long is that after it's corrected, you may end up with double vision because your eyes may no longer work together. Your eye may turn in or turn out a little bit, may develop strabismus, and then when you go to correct the cataract, that may not correct itself. And so then the two eyes may be looking in different directions, which means you have double vision. So that's not a good thing. So another good reason to get a cataract taken care of before it becomes too advanced or troublesome. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some Halloween tips, some ways that you can keep your keiki safer from an eye standpoint during the Halloween celebrations. Okay, we'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Well, I don't know about your children, but my son is getting very excited about trick-or-treating, Halloween festivities coming up this next week. And so for those of you who have particularly who have younger children around the house, there are a few eye safety tips that we like to send out to everyone prior to the Halloween festivities in order to make sure that everyone has the safest possible Halloween. There are, believe it or not, things that you can do related to the eyes that can make Halloween a little bit safer. So the biggest thing we always worry about with the small ones, particularly walking around the streets trick-or-treating, is that it does get dark fairly early at this time of year. And if they're out trick-or-treating after dark, there are visibility issues, both the visibility of the child seeing around him or her, and the visibility of drivers who are passing the particular area and perhaps not thinking about the young trick-or-treaters that may be in the vicinity. So first thing you want to do is make sure that visibility is good both for others seeing you and your children and for your children seeing cars and other potential obstructions. So two things from a seeing point of view, eyes, seeing, right? There we go, connection to the eyes already. The two things from a seeing point of view are that you can You want to make sure that your child can be seen. So some costumes are darkly colored. Not everyone wears the white sheet to be a ghost anymore. I don't know how many people still use that costume, but that's good invisible to cars passing by. But say you're wearing a dark costume, like a Darth Vader costume or something of that sort that's dark in color. The cars with their headlights and the darker streets may not see your child that easily when the costume is dark. So for these types of costumes, you want to make sure you put a little flashing light on them, one of those safety flashers that they sell for Halloween, or they even give out in some places. And you may want to have them make sure they have some reflective tape on the back of their costume so when they're walking, the cars can see them, or just otherwise make sure that there is some visibility, that you're paying attention to the visibility issues so that they don't get, that cars don't sneak up without seeing them and run the risk of hitting them or reacting at the last minute, the driver reacting at the last minute. The other thing is make sure your child's visibility is good. A lot of masks tend to come over the eyes, and if the masks are shifting, and it's, maybe the mask is a little bit big, it doesn't fit the child's face that well, but he or she really liked that mask. And they can see through the eye sockets when the mask is just in the right position, but when it shifts a little bit, then they can't see anymore, or they don't have good peripheral vision. This can be an issue when it comes to walking around, crossing the street safely, and so forth. If they don't have good peripheral vision, they may not see cars coming, and they may not be aware of traffic issues. You know, there are a lot of electric and hybrid electric cars out there now that don't make that much noise when they approach, particularly when they approach slowly. And so you can't always rely on the sense of hearing to know whether there are cars coming or not. Sometimes you really have to depend on your vision. And so from that standpoint, make sure that your children's vision is good. So the costumes, another thing about costumes that you want to make sure from an eye health standpoint is that some masks have kind of sharp edges, sharp points projecting out from various parts of the costume or parts of the mask. You want to make sure that these aren't anywhere that they could poke the child in the eye, or that the child might not, you know, bend over or do something with his or her arms that might bring something sharp close to their face, in which they could poke their eye and so forth. So be aware of that, particularly with younger children. Also, a lot of older children and adults like to dress up for Halloween, and there are a few things that you may want to be aware of as well. I did find a site through one of my people that I follow on Twitter. I found a site that talks about how to use glitter. I found on Twitter about how to use glitter. Hey, that's good. That rhymes and everything. Okay, about how to use glitter safely in the eye. And this was from actually beauty school, beautyschool.com blog. And so about beauty tips. But if you're wanting to be beautiful or scary, you may want to use some glitter on your face. And so let me read to you what they had to say about this. It says, going to a costume party this Halloween? If so, chances are you have some accessories to spice up your costume, maybe a witch's hat, crazy jewelry, or some festive makeup. If fun Halloween makeup is in your costume plans, you may want to read some of our tips before you go hitting the glittery eyes for that awesome Keisha costume you're planning. While glitter can add instant glitz and glam, it can also cause eye injuries, discomfort, and infections if not used correctly. Big chunks of glitter that fall into the eye can scratch the cornea and leave your eyes bloodshot and uncomfortable, of course. Unless you're going for monster or zombie makeup, you probably don't want that. Here are a few Halloween makeup tips on how to have a glittery yet pain-free eye experience. Okay, so here you go. Never use glitter that isn't intended to be makeup. Don't think you can sprinkle craft store glitter on your eyelids. It's often cut in bigger chunks and made out of metal, which could scratch your cornea or irritate your eye if it goes inside the eye. Okay, good point. You don't want to put metal in the eye if you don't have to. Okay, before you pile on a bunch of glitter, that's point number two, test it out on your skin. Does it irritate your skin? Does it fall easily into your eyes? Make sure you know before you wear it all night. Okay, that's good advice. Now, point number three, tip number three, is it loose glitter or liquid? If it's glittery goo that has to be applied with a brush or a stick, it's better to put on your eyelids than loose glitter. Loose glitter will fly into your eyes and irritate you, or worse, scratch your eyes. So you can imagine you have this loose glitter on your eyelids and you walk out on a nice breezy evening, trade winds are blowing perhaps, and it blows the glitter off your eyelids and into your eyes. That's probably not a good thing. Tip number four, read the instructions. If it says it is not intended for use around the eyes or avoid eye area, don't put it on your eyes. That's good advice, I guess. Some glitter is made to brush on your cheeks, but not meant for eyes. Stick to the directions. And the last point, the last tip, safety tip, apply the glitter over a layer of liquid or cream eyeshadow. If glitter has a sticky base to hold on to, it's less likely to fall into your eyes throughout the night. A bonus is you can make some cool color combinations. Enchanting sparkly eyes can really add to your magical Halloween costume. The trick is to use the right kind of glitter and apply it correctly so your Halloween makeup looks beautiful from start to finish. Okay, again, some tips from the www.beautyschool.com blog. And say that we're not just always publishing or talking about scientific articles. Sometimes we're talking about articles from beauty school. Interesting, huh? Okay. So that's a little bit about Halloween tips, things that you can do to make your Halloween a little bit safer and a little bit nicer for your children and for, of course, the adults in your trick-or-treating group or Halloween party group as well. If you want to get references to some of the things that we talk about here on the Hawaiian Eye Show on an ongoing basis, we do post links to many of the stories that we talk about online on our Facebook page. And so look for us on Facebook and click like while you're there. And you can get interesting information about different types of eye news. You can get information about specials that we're doing at Hawaiian Eye Center as well. So just go look for Hawaiian Eye Center on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. And look for our information and articles and everything else that you would like to know. A couple of news stories that we're going to do coming up. We also have to take your calls, so you may want to start thinking about what kinds of questions you want to ask us. We are available to answer questions about eyes and eye care and eye news and other things that are going on in the world of eyes and medicine. And we are at Hawaiian Eye Center, we are medical eye doctors. We are medical doctors who specialize in the eyes. We've got myself, we've got my associate, Dr. Stephen Ree, and we've got Dr. William Perryman in the Hilo office. And all of the doctors are trained and experienced to not only take care of acute eye problems, meaning things that come up suddenly, but also long-standing problems. We take care of many people who have long-standing eye problems that need ongoing treatment. We also do surgery and laser and all kinds of high-tech things to do the best we can to take care of your eyes. A lot of questions come up about correcting your vision. People ask, whenever I meet someone new, and they say, well, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm an eye surgeon, or sometimes I say I'm an eye doctor. Whatever I say, I'm an ophthalmologist. And they say, do you do LASIK? It seems like LASIK is the best known eye procedure out there. LASIK, of course, a procedure which uses laser to reshape the surface of the eye to correct your vision so that you see better without glasses. And the goal of treatment with LASIK is to get the best possible vision with less dependence on eyeglasses. And so for people who have LASIK done, it generally can correct their distance vision, but it doesn't always correct reading vision. For people who are over 40, 45 or so, most of these people can see well. If they see well in the distance, they don't see as well to read. Many people who opt for LASIK are nearsighted, which means they see well to read, but they can't see well in the distance. So we can't really give you both distance and near vision with LASIK once you're over 40, 45 or so. But there are some ways to address that distance and near issue. So you may still need reading glasses once in a while, but you may find you can be relatively independent of reading glasses. So my point in bringing up LASIK is just to remind you that that is an option, but there are also other options for correcting the vision. And while we don't actually do LASIK at the moment in our center, we do other procedures that help to correct the vision. For many people who require cataract surgery or will soon require cataract surgery, there is an option for correcting the vision at the time of lens removal or cataract removal, which can actually significantly increase the vision, both for distance and near. So that's something you definitely want to ask your eye specialist about, or if you come to see us at Hawaiian Eye Center, you can ask us about it. We're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we're going to take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio, 830 KHVH.
It's 77 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis. Here's what's happening. It's the deadliest attack on coalition forces in Kabul since the Afghan war began. A suicide bomber rammed a van full of explosives into an armored NATO bus, killing 13 U.S. troops and four Afghans. The attack came on the same day top NATO and Afghan officials were meeting in Kabul to discuss the second phase of shifting security responsibilities to Afghan forces. Iraq's prime minister says 615 people have been detained in a security sweep targeting members of the former ruling Ba'ath Party. That's likely to alarm Iraq's Sunni Arabs, who say the Shiite-dominated government sometimes uses crackdowns on Ba'athists to exert political pressure on prominent Sunnis. The Ba'ath Party that ruled Iraq under Saddam Hussein is now outlawed. A school teacher accused of repeatedly sexually assaulting a female student made his initial appearance at Honolulu District Court yesterday. 42-year-old Brian Lindbergh is charged with 16 counts of sex assault. His bail is $200,000. The sexual offenses allegedly happened while he was a teacher at Hawaiian Mission Academy. He now teaches at Lilehua High School. The girl was 14 and a student at Hawaiian Mission Academy. Unionized employees at Hawaiian Telcom are considering a strike. Members of the IBEW Local Union 1357 have until tomorrow to turn in their strike authorization ballots. They'll be counted Monday. If a majority authorizes a strike, workers could walk off the job Tuesday. Thousands of local breast cancer survivors, volunteers, businesses, and community members are stepping off at this hour for the American Cancer Society, making strides against breast cancer. 5-mile walk on the Ford Island Bridge. Money raised by the event will help fund research to find a cure. Mostly sunny, high peaking in the mid-80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low near 72, currently 77.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, welcome back, and here we are in the second half of the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you have a question for us, now's the time to call. We have open phone lines at 521-8383, and we're happy to take your calls and answer your questions. 521-8383 is the number to reach us here at the studio. If you want to call us from the neighbor islands or somewhere else that you need to reach us toll-free, maybe you're listening to us on the iHeartRadio app somewhere on the mainland, you can reach us at 888-565-8383, and we'll be happy to see if we can answer your questions. In the meantime, let's talk about some news stories. I have an interesting news story here that is talking about adolescent diabetics, or diabetic adolescents, I suppose. Diabetes is not an uncommon problem among adolescents, and many times it's a different form of diabetes than that which affects adults. A lot of adolescents get what's called juvenile diabetes, which has a different natural history a little bit than the adult onset diabetes. And with juvenile diabetes, you really have to be careful because these kids are going to have diabetes for their whole lives. And so you really have to teach them early to do things to take care of their health. And so this has been an increasing trend in medical care, is to make sure that these young diabetic adolescents have all of the tools that they need to keep their health as good as possible over the years. And so one of the problems that diabetics run into is eye trouble. And diabetic retinopathy is a common concern among patients who have diabetes. Diabetic retinopathy is a condition where abnormal blood vessels inside the eye cause damage to the retina tissue and cause, over time, loss of vision and can even lead to blindness. In fact, diabetes is the leading cause of blindness here in the United States today, and one of the leading causes of blindness worldwide. And because of that, there's been a strong push to try to see what we can do to improve the effect or improve the outcome of people who have diabetes and how it's going to affect their eyes over time. So the most common condition that affects kids as well as adults who are diabetic in terms of the affecting the eyes is called diabetic retinopathy. Diabetic retinopathy is a condition where these abnormal blood vessels cause certain types of changes in the back of the eyes, and if we catch it early, we can often treat it. But even better than catching it early is preventing it from happening in the first place. So I have an article here about the prevalence of retinopathy in the adolescent age group, people who have diabetes, is actually decreasing over time. So let me read from the article here. It says, a 20-year observational study has chronicled notable declines in retinopathy for young patients with type 1 diabetes, so that's juvenile diabetes, who receive intensive glycemic control therapy. In other words, if they get very good control of their blood sugars due to close observation and work with their doctors, then their incidence of diabetic eye disease is reduced. So it says this data confirms earlier findings that found a link between normalized blood glucose levels and the slower progression of eye, kidney, and nerve damage. In the study, a review of 1,600 adolescents and teenagers stratified into four periods between 1990 and 2009 and evaluated for contributors to diabetes-related complications showed that frequency of retinopathy dropped when glucose control therapy went beyond the standard regimen of 1 to 2 insulin injections per day. Researchers associated steady decreases in the onset of retinopathy over time with increasing percentages of study participants who were subjected to multiple daily injections, 3 or more injections daily, or continuous subcutaneous insulin infusion. So that's what they call an insulin pump. So it says that the results of this study, coordinated by physicians associated with the Institute of Endocrinology and Diabetes at the Children's Hospital in Westmead, Australia, are being published by the American Diabetes Association in the November issue of Diabetes Care. Study participants, 54% of which were girls, ranged in age from 12 to 20 years old, had a mean duration of their diabetes of 8.5 years. Physicians performed 2,000 assessments of complex risk factor profiles, which was associated with various type 1 morbidities. They were able to correlate the use of stricter blood sugar control therapies with reduced incidence of retinopathy throughout the entire period that they observed these patients. Prevalence of retinopathy dropped from 53% of 342 patients assessed between 1990 and 1994 to 38% of 500 patients assessed between 95 and 99. So it dropped from 53% to 38% in subsequent 5-year periods. Incident continued to decline in subsequent time stratified groups, with a 23% prevalence recorded between years 2000 and 2004, and a 12% prevalence between 2005 and 2009. So it dropped from 53% of everyone back in the early 1990s to only 12% of everyone in the late 2000s, so 2005 to 2009. So that was an interesting conclusion, an interesting study that shows that actually controlling the blood sugar a little bit better seems to make a big difference in terms of the types of damage people get to their eyes and to their body in general due to the diabetes. Let's see what else this article has to say. It says that only 17% of the 1990 to 1994 population, which showed the highest frequency, were subject to the more rigorous controls of blood sugar. In contrast, in the 2005 to 2009 patient group, which showed the lowest prevalence of retinopathy, they had the highest level of adherence to the more advanced therapies. So 88% of them were using the higher level therapies at that point. So there was some evidence that there was a reduced risk of retinopathy in those treated with the continuous infusion pump versus the multiple daily injections, according to the authors, but this did not reach statistical significance. No increase in risk for severe hypoglycemia was associated with glucose management control adjustments. This Australian study builds on earlier research conducted to quantify normal glycemic targets that are recommended for healthy function, and specifically those that are discussed in the Diabetes Control and Complications Trial of 1983 to 93. That study, conducted in 29 American and Canadian medical centers, enrolled about 1,400 patients aged 13 to 39 years of age with adult, with juvenile or type 1 diabetes. So basically, the conclusion that they made was that Diabetes Control and Complications Trial concluded that intensified blood glucose control techniques that keep blood sugar levels as close as possible to normal could help reduce vision mortality or morbidity. Sorry, you don't die from vision changes, but you do get morbidity, which is loss of function, can reduce vision morbidity by 76%. So that's quite a significant finding. So what about diabetes in the eye, and what should you know, and what should you be telling people who have diabetes? The diabetes, basically, because it causes damage to the eyes, it's important for diabetics to have their eyes checked on a regular basis, even if your diabetes is really well controlled. We've seen instances where people develop diabetic changes inside the eyes. And one of the things that it tells you when there are diabetic changes in the eyes is that probably your blood sugar is not well enough controlled, even if the numbers look pretty good. If you're noticing changes in the eyes due to the diabetes, that's usually not a good sign and suggests that the diabetes is not well controlled. If there is there is good control of the condition, generally it's less likely that you'll develop diabetic changes in the eyes, but you don't know unless it's checked. So you have to be checked. Your eyes have to be checked every year. This is something that we've finally educated the majority of the primary care doctors about, is that all their diabetic patients should be getting eye examinations on an ongoing basis, once a year or so, more frequently if there are high-risk characteristics. The good thing is that if we find issues that are affecting the eyes in people who have diabetes, often, if they're significant enough, they can be treated, and that's a good thing, because if we can treat the condition, then it's less likely to cause trouble with vision down the road. Okay, that's it for diabetes for the moment, but if you have any questions, of course, specific questions, we'll be happy to answer them. We do have an off-the-air question that's not about diabetes, but the caller does ask, is it common for eyes to correct themselves? Okay, well, that's an interesting question, for eyes to correct themselves. Now, I think what the caller is asking about is whether, if you're nearsighted and need glasses, are you going to become normal-sighted by yourself without any additional treatment or anything, or are the eyes, once they're needing glasses, always going to need glasses? Now, I'm not 100% sure that this is what the caller needs, because the question is not that specific. But usually when people ask about the eyes correcting themselves, what they're talking about is whether the need for glasses changes over time. So there are a few things to bear in mind about this. Without knowing the age of the caller or the specific issue or what kinds of changes they're noticing or their family members noticing, it's very hard to answer the specific question. But what I can do is give you some general information about this particular subject. So first of all, if you are nearsighted, meaning you need glasses for distance, not for near. Near is a little bit clearer, but distance is blurry, and you've worn glasses for distance for most of your life. Being nearsighted generally does not reverse itself. If you're nearsighted now, you're still going to be nearsighted in the future, and that doesn't get better by itself. Extremely rare things could perhaps change the focus, and once in a great while, someone could end up with less nearsightedness, but this is very unusual. It's not something that we see often at all. So nearsighted people tend to stay nearsighted throughout their lives. If they have their vision corrected with laser or some other treatment, then that can often correct the nearsightedness, but by itself, it won't get better. It won't get better by itself. However, people who are farsighted, as they get older, as they get significantly older, into their 60s, 70s, and older, then it's not uncommon for the farsightedness to improve and the need for glasses to become less. And the reason for this is that as cataracts develop in our eyes, which they do as we get older into our 60s and 70s, cataracts are often developing, at least in their beginning stages. And as we get into our 70s and 80s, usually they reach more advanced stages where they're starting to blur the vision. But as a cataract develops or progresses, it generally causes a change or a shift in the focus. And many people who develop at least certain forms of cataracts develop a nearsighted shift in their vision. So if you're farsighted to begin with and your vision shifts more nearsighted, then the net effect is that you become less dependent on your glasses because your prescription becomes less strong. So you go from farsighted toward the nearsighted direction, you end up with less strong glasses. So that's one way that the eyes can, in a sense, correct themselves. But as that cataract continues to progress and then blurs the vision, the cataract then needs to be treated. So it's only a temporary benefit. Sometimes people call that shift in the focus with cataracts, they call it the second sight. Because as you get older, you suddenly notice that you can read again. You become more nearsighted. You used to depend on reading glasses, and now you find that you can read again. And that reading again, being able to read again, people refer to that as the second sight because all of a sudden your sight is coming back to how it was when you were younger. So it's like, oh, I'm getting a second sight, getting a second wind, it's a second sight. But in reality, that's not always of benefit because while your near vision or close-up vision may be improving, your distance vision probably is getting weaker at this point. And so as your cataracts are developing and progressing, they're causing a shift toward nearsighted vision, which may help your reading or near vision a little bit, or may help you if you're farsighted to begin with. But in the long run, it's going to continue to progress and cause more difficulties with the vision, and eventually that cataract is going to need to be treated or removed. So the short answer to the question, do your eyes correct themselves? If we're talking about glasses, the answer is usually no. But there are certain cases, particularly as you get older, in which the focus can shift or change, and that can cause some improvement so that you don't need as strong glasses. Okay, I hope that answers the question. The other thing that sometimes changes the focus of the vision or focus of the eyes is diabetes. When you get diabetes and your blood sugars fluctuate, your blood sugars go up and down, that can change the focus of the vision as well. And so if people who develop diabetes suddenly notice a shift in their vision, it can become more blurry, or sometimes, depending on what their vision is like to begin with, it can become more clear, and that's a temporary change. And when that happens, that generally means the blood sugar is way out of whack, and when you get the blood sugar back into control again, then that effect goes away. Okay. A lot of people ask about different types of eye exercises, eye techniques, the Bates method, the modified Bates method, other things that are designed to reduce your need for eyeglasses, pinhole glasses. All of these things have been pretty much shown not to have any permanent effect on your vision. There are people who swear by the effects in the early stages and say, I see much better without glasses than I used to, but most of them within a few months of trying these techniques come back and say, gee, you know, I just don't see as well as I did with my glasses. I want to go back to wearing glasses again. So most of these exercise techniques, various methods for trying to reduce your need for eyeglasses, really no effect as far as my experience has been. So if there's anyone who has had a true documentable effect, I'd love to hear about it and see the information about what your prescription used to be like and your documentation from an eye specialist that things have actually changed as a result of the exercise and not due to something else going on. That would be interesting if we found anyone that met those criteria. All right, we're going to take a short break. And when we get back, we have some more eye news to talk about. And, of course, we'll be ready to take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Doctor, my eye.
Okay, welcome back, and here we are in the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. So if you have something that you'd like to ask us, now is a perfect time. Give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call here on Oahu, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. Meanwhile, on to talking about some more eyes and eye news. We have a news story here about a new drug and some of its benefits, some of the things it's been proven to do. Let's talk first about the condition that we're talking about treating. Sometimes as we get older, the circulation to the eye changes a little bit, the blood circulation, and that blood circulation change can sometimes cause damage to structures in different parts of our bodies. And in the eyes, if the blood flow to the eye is blocked, that can mean that the lack of blood flow causes damage to the eye. If the blood flow out of the eye is blocked, what we call a vein occlusion, a blocked blood, a blocked vein, that can also cause damage to the eye and to the vision. And so all of these blood flow related issues have potential concerns about what happens in the eyes. So I have a study about a new drug and the way it works with the treatment of a central retinal vein occlusion in the eye, which can cause problems. But before we get to that, let's go to the phones. We've got Nadine standing by in Kailua. Hi, Nadine. Welcome to the program.
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Tortora. Thank you so much for taking my call. I had to laugh when you said it was very unusual for somebody who was nearsighted to become farsighted, because this is what has happened to me, and I'll be 60 in December. And I didn't really notice that my eyes were changing, except one day I was on Alakea waiting for the Windward buses, and I could look practically all the way down and see the number on the bus. And when I put my glasses on, you know, because I used to be nearsighted, it was blurry. The vision for the far sight was blurry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, that it does happen from time to time, but you are the exception rather than the rule, right? And so I'm glad if that's helped you and you're seeing better. You know, sometimes even cataracts can have a little bit opposite effects. Instead of making you more nearsighted, they can shift the focus the other way, or changes in the shape of the eye can explain that. But it's for the moment, as long as your vision is good, that's a good thing for you.
Well, I take a lot of medication, so maybe that has changed something.
Perhaps.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Well,
thanks for sharing that experience.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Aloha. Okay. Well, we wanted to talk a little bit about this story here, this news story about a new drug. And this is a drug that also has been tested for the for use in the development or the progression of macular degeneration, the wet form of macular degeneration. The current trend in care of macular degeneration is to use drugs that are known as anti-VEGF drugs. VEGF stands for vascular endothelial growth factor, VEGF. And these anti-VEGF drugs inhibit this growth factor, which causes the growth or progression of abnormal blood vessels in the eye. So this particular study looked at using this drug, which is injected into the eye every couple of months as a treatment not for macular degeneration, which is what it's also being studied for, but in this case for the blocked blood vessel in the eye, which causes swelling inside the eye because blood and fluid can't leave the eye, so swelling, so the fluid ends up staying inside the back of the eye in the retina, so it causes swelling in there. So it says, 1 year results of the Copernicus trial show that patients with macular edema or swelling in the back of the eye due to central retinal vein occlusion, blocked blood vessel, who received injections of this medication called VEGF Trap I, made by Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, on an as-needed basis after receiving the drug once a month for the first 6 months, are able to maintain their initially improved visual acuity, according to researchers reporting at the annual meeting of the American Academy of Ophthalmology. So it says they actually saw some improvement when they went regular injections to an as-needed series of injections, which is good because a lot of these medications are felt to be needed as injections in the eye every month, and this is quite difficult both for the doctor and for the patient. You can imagine that if many patients need an injection every month, how crowded it makes the doctor's office and how much of a pain it is for the patient to have to come in so often. So it's good news that this new medication may have some benefit. And the same medication, this VEGF Trap I medication, has also been shown to have some benefit in macular degeneration treatment, wet macular degeneration, and may have a treatment over a more extended period of time. So the injections may not need to be done as frequently as with some of the other available types of injectable medications. We've been here now for an hour talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun. I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Andrea for helping out here in the studio and say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your letters, through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. And if you learned something new, you can always listen again next week, learn something else. And if you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air. Don't forget to check out our website at www.hawaiianeye.com. It's got a great new look. You might want to see what it looks like. You can watch videos and everything. You can also follow me on Twitter at Dr. Tortora, DrTortora, once you go to twitter.com. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/HawaiianEyeCenter, to find links to some of the articles that we've been talking about. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for us. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in Central Oahu and Hilo on the Big Island. I'm Dr. Tortora. Thanks for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020.
888-382-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
That instant information at your fingertips is great. I mean, it's really wonderful.
KHVH Honolulu on Twitter. Follow us.